Psalm 119, 119, and we're looking at verse 97 to 104. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation.
Glory.
I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, bless your word to us, and speak to us, we pray, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Open your word to us, and open our hearts, Lord, to receive your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As you know, those who have been coming, this is one of the acrostic passages of Scripture. You find them in the Psalms and you'll find it in Lamentations, where they use the alphabet to guide you through.
Amen.
And in this particular Psalm, which is the pinnacle of that sort of approach, you've got 22 sections, 22 stanzas of 8 verses each, and each section starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Each section, each verse in each section, each of the 8 verses in each section starts with the same letter of the alphabet. So you start with Aleph, which is the Hebrew letter, first letter of the alphabet, our letter A, I suppose, although you don't pronounce the Aleph. And you work your way through, and we're tonight at the letter Mem, pronounced M, M. That's easy, isn't it? And every verse in that section starts with a word that begins with Mem. And I believe that the Holy Spirit can focus and direct our attention to what he's saying if we look at the Hebrew word order.
Yes.
In other words, which word actually comes first in each verse? In the English translation, to make sense in English,
They've
had to juggle the words around so that the first word in Hebrew is not the first word in our English sentence.
Yes.
And I just thought, if we look at these Psalms and look at these sections and look at what the first word was in each verse, it would be a help to focusing our thoughts on what the Lord is saying. And tonight, with the letter Mem, each verse begins with the word beginning with Mem. There are two that begin with the Hebrew word for how, as an exclamation. How wonderful, how marvellous.
Yes.
But there are 6 that have words which are prefixed by the letter M. In Hebrew you'll find this, that a new word is made by prefixing it with another letter.
Yes.
To signify some preposition in English. And the letter Mem, it can translate more than, or from, or through. And so, we'll draw our attention to these things. And the psalmist starts with, how I love your law.
Glory.
How I love your Torah. You know, for Jewish people, the Torah is the law, the first 5 books of the Bible. That which was given by God to Moses for the people of Israel, for this new nation he was bringing out of Egypt.
Yes.
It's the God-given word of God.
Yes.
It's the God-given word of God. We must get it into our hearts that this, well, we believe that this written word of God is the word of God.
Amen.
It's from God. It's not the invention of men trying to write about God. It's what God has given.
Amen.
It's inspired from beginning to end. From Genesis to Revelation, it's the inspired word of God. And unless you've got that starting point, you've got no basis, no foundation when you come to the Bible.
That's right.
Without that starting point, it's open to the interpretations of men and for people to say, no, that bit doesn't count anymore and we don't believe that anymore. This is the written word of God.
Right.
From Genesis to Revelation. Without that assurance, without that certainty, we couldn't live by the word of God. We'd always be in doubt. We've got to have that conviction in our heart. This is what God has given. And in the New Testament, together with the Old Testament, we can rejoice and love God's word.
Right. Amen.
It's a blessing to us. And it should be a blessing to us. And it can be a blessing to us. Not just when we come together on a Tuesday night, a Sunday and so on.
Yes.
But every day is here in the word of God. You know, in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it's about the word of God. It says, for the word of God, this revealed written word of God, the Logos of God,
Amen.
This word of God is quick That means it's alive.
Yes.
It's living. And it's powerful.
Yes.
And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. I believe that so we can know what comes from God.
Yes.
Amen. Know that the soul, if we think of body, soul, spirit, the soul can pick up messages from the body, from the flesh.
Yes.
But if we're born again of the spirit and become spiritually alive,
yes,
then God can speak to us and work through us through the spirit.
Yes.
We're spiritually alive now. When we come to the Lord Jesus, when yes, we come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the cross of Calvary, through the blood cleansing of Calvary,
yes,
cleansing away our sin, we're made alive. We're born again of His Spirit.
Yes.
We who were once spiritually dead, born dead in trespasses and sin, become alive.
That's right.
Amen.
We come in contact with God by His Spirit, who communicates with our spirit.
That's right.
And confirms to us that we are the children of God.
Glory.
Hallelujah. And the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, so that when we can't make up our minds, is that me thinking that, or is it God revealing? God gives us a revelation that it's Him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The word of God, even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. Oh, how we must,
yes,
how we ought to love this word of God.
Right, amen.
As the psalmist said, oh, he says, how I love your law. You know, in James chapter 2, he speaks there about the word of God being like a mirror.
Yes.
That shows us ourselves as we are.
Yes.
And in the psalm that we're reading, Psalm 119, in verse 105, it's the next verse of the next section we look at next,
yeah,
week. Thy word, your word, is a lamp to my feet and a light,
yes,
to my path. God's word shows us what we're like.
Yes.
God's word gives us direction for every moment, every day, of where we should go and what we should be doing. It shows us the wrong way and it shows us the right way.
Yes.
That's not the way to go.
Yes.
This is the way to go. Walk in this way. All praise the Lord. We can rejoice in this word of God. And he says, it is my meditation all the day. These are now my thoughts on the matter. I trust that as the Lord sort of lays them on my heart, that you'll find an agreement there as well. It's my meditation all the day. This law that the psalmist loves is his meditation all the day. How is it his meditation all the day? Well, my idea, my thought is that he begins the day with the word of God.
Yes.
When you begin the day with the word of God, then you can meditate on that word of God.
Yes.
It's with you all the day.
Yes.
It's a blessing, you know, to start the day with the word of God. I've always said, we're not making any rules, but here's some good advice.
Yes.
Start the day with the word of God.
Right.
Spend time. I remember earlier on in my life, I decided that the only way to read the word of God first thing in the morning is to get up earlier than I would normally get up to go to work.
Right.
And doing that, you can spend time where you're not pressured, you're not rushing, you've set aside,
yes,
whatever it might be, 20 minutes, half an hour, maybe more, for the Word of God.
Right.
You know that you're going to start your breakfast and start setting off for the bus or the train or whatever you've got to get to work, but you've set aside an extra time,
yes,
to be with the Lord and to read His Word. Not making rules, between you and the Lord what you do.
That's right.
But I found that a good way to start the day with the Word of God. And you can meditate on His word all the day long.
Right.
Because it's there. You've been reading it. You've been thinking about it. Praise the Lord, it's a blessing. Psalm 143 and verse 8. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto you. There it is.
Glory.
Guidance for the day. And here, it's a blessing. Here it's a blessing. As the psalmist looks at his life, a life where he loves and rejoices in the word of God.
Yes.
He speaks about things that are more than. This is the little phrase that starts these next three verses after verse 98. From verse 98. More than my enemies. In what way is he more than his enemies? This is how the verse starts. More than my enemies. How is he more than his enemies? He's wiser. He's more wise.
Yes.
He's wiser than his enemies. That's a good place to be in. Have you got enemies? I don't mean your next door neighbours. There's an enemy of our soul. Satan and the host of darkness. But you know, the psalmist could say that he was wiser, more wise than his enemies. Whoever was used by the enemy of our souls, Satan, whoever's used by Satan, human beings, to come against us, the psalmist says, I'm wiser than my enemies.
Yes.
It's good when we're walking in the Word of God and rejoicing in the Word of God to know that we can be wiser than our enemies. Every enemy. Praise the Lord, isn't that wonderful?
Right, yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
It's victory, isn't it?
Yes.
How is he wiser than his enemies? He says it's through your commandments.
Yes.
Through your commandments. What the Lord has commanded. That Hebrew word which we've come across before. Mitzvot. The plural of mitzvah. And that's a word which many of us have heard because we've heard the Jewish people say bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
Bar mitzvah. The son of the commandment. When a boy, nowadays it's 13 years of age, becomes an adult member of the Jewish synagogue.
Yes.
The son of the commandment. The commandments of God. And he says, your commandments have made me wiser than mine enemies. The thought at the beginning is wiser than mine enemies. And he says, for they are ever with me.
Yes.
Not the enemies,
yes.
The commandments.
Amen.
That's what's forever with him.
Yes.
The commandments of the Lord are ever with him. How are they ever with him? Because he's meditating on the law of the Lord,
yes.
On the word of God, day and night. And he begins every day. And he meditates on it through the day.
Right.
And we come to verse 99, the next verse. And there's another more then. More than all my teachers.
Yes.
Wouldn't kids love to say that? Yes. More than all my teachers. What's more than all my teachers? This is the first phrase in the sentence. And you get the idea that in the psalm in Hebrew, there's a pattern there for each verse.
Yes.
More than my enemies, more than my teachers, more than all my teachers. You know, it's an interesting word in Hebrew for the teacher. It comes from a word which means to goad. To use the rod.
Goad, yeah.
To use the stick.
Yeah.
That's a good teacher.
Yeah.
I speak from experience. Things have changed since I was at school, at secondary school, 1958 to 65. And I've told you before, but for those who haven't heard before, I am the product of the rod, the cane. During my school career, of secondary school career of 7 years, it's about... I think I lost it about 36 times. It hurt. It taught you a lesson. I can't say that it taught you not to do that again because it wouldn't have been 36 times. It would have only been two. Two was the minimum. Once I got four, and that was because I skipped assembly. I hadn't done my homework.
Oh dear.
I nipped upstairs to our room. In those days, we had desks where we put all our books in. And that was our base. The teachers moved around the school, not the classes. It was the other way around from today. I nipped upstairs, and one of my mates, he'd done his homework, opened his desk, took his homework book out, copied it into my book, put his book back down, just got in at the end of assembly. He was the only boy in the class that got it hopelessly wrong. as well as me. So I was found out because mine was identical to his. Identically wrong, hopelessly wrong. I lied about it. No, not me, no. But in the end, it was found. Down to the headmaster. Bend over, boy. Four strokes of the cane. It was a learning process. That's how teachers talked in those days. More than my teachers. What does he have more than his teachers? He says, I have more understanding than my teachers. But you see, when we're with the Lord, we can have more understanding that the world out there has access to. We can understand and know things that are beyond the understanding of man.
Right.
And we can rejoice in a wonderful salvation.
Thank you.
And in a way, that is the role of teachers today, really. That those who are their responsibility get to a position where they're able to learn for themselves. And maybe one day, because I know more than he knows. I know more than that teacher. They've been set on the road, the pathway. The psalmist had learned many lessons from the Lord.
Right.
And had an understanding of the things of God. And he says, for your testimonies are my meditations. Because I meditate on what you have done.
Yes.
The record of what you have done.
Yes.
What you have said. Yes. I've more understanding than my teachers. We can be wiser than the world. Praise the Lord. We can be wiser than the cleverest people out there that don't know the Lord.
That's right.
Even a little child can know more of value.
Amen.
Than the university professor that denies everything.
Right.
Your testimony is in my meditation. Here's a little verse from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. What are we going to meditate on? Here it is in Philippians 4 verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Meditate. These are godly things from the word of God. Then he says, more than the ancients.
Yes.
All those old guys with all their experience of life.
Right.
What's he got more than them? He's got more knowledge and experience than them. I understand more than them. I have a better perception of life than the wisest that have lived their long lives. More than the enemies. More than his teachers. More than the ancients. With all their experience of life.
Right.
Even a child can know more than the ancients when they come to the Lord and grow up in the Lord.
Yes.
And those who have denied the Lord have all the experience of what life throws at you. Isn't it wonderful?
Glory.
How has he got this position of understanding more of the ancients? Because he says, I keep your precepts. I keep your precepts. What you have appointed, what you have said we should do.
That's right.
I follow your rules, Lord. More than, more than, more than. And then the next two verses are about away from. This is how the verse starts. Away from. Verse 101. Away from every evil way. What's he done? Away from every evil way. I've refrained my feet, he says. I won't go that way if it's an evil way. The word way in Hebrew here, which is an evil way, is a well-trodden path.
Yes.
And what he's refraining his feet from is that way, that well-trodden path that's evil.
Yes.
There's the deception in life today, as it has been over the years.
Yes.
The well-trodden way. Everybody goes down that road.
Yes.
Everybody does that. And he says, I've refrained my feet from that well-trodden way. He's refraining his feet from that way of evil. Which road is everybody going down according to Jesus? Jesus said, it's the broad way. Many there be that go in through that wide gate and that broad way. There's many on that path.
Right.
Where does it lead to? Jesus said, it leads to destruction. But it's the narrow gate and the narrow way that leads to life.
Amen.
It's not the well-trodden way. Everybody's piling along the broad way. All the things for self to do.
Yes.
But there are those who follow the Lord. They refrain from going down that pathway, well-trodden though it may be, that is full of those things which are against God and are wrong. Have you noticed today how lots of, shall we just call them churchmen, are now agreeing with those that suggest things that are contrary to the word of God.
Right.
And now agreeing that, it's okay for certain things that the Bible says are wrong, but that's how they saw things in those days, but we know better today. Have you noticed how certain churchmen are saying, we all worship the same God?
Yeah.
Well, don't be deceived by the lie of the enemy. We don't all worship the same God.
Amen.
It's a misplaced kindness. People want to be kind, but without God's revelation, they can't see that all the different gods across the world that people worship, they're not the God that we worship.
Of course they're not.
They're not the same God.
Amen.
There's one Lord God who's given us a wonderful revelation in his word, who came to this earth and suffered and died. The Lord, the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And he trod that path to Calvary and he died for our sins. See, if you accept other things, you say, well, that wasn't necessary.
Yes.
The cross wasn't necessary.
That's right.
We could have gone the way of another religion and got to the top of the mountain.
No.
There's only one way. Jesus said it.
Yes.
He said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me.
Right. Glory.
Praise the Lord. The psalmist says, I've refrained my feet from that pathway.
Yes.
So that I can keep your word. You know, there's action needed to move and to live in God's word. Not just reading the word of God. Not just meditating on it. That's good. Not just getting an understanding of it, but eventually you've got to get to the stage where you're involved in the action, in doing and living God's word. Away from evil, coming closer to him.
Amen.
And the other verse, the next verse, 102, says, away from judgment. What about away from judgment?
Glory.
He says, I have not departed from your judgments. Away from your judgments, I have not come.
That's right.
Away from the way that's evil, yes.
Yes.
Away from your judgments, no. That word judgment in Hebrew is mishpat. And that really is a verdict. A verdict where God can show what is right.
Yes.
I mean, his verdict on that is it's good, it's right. His verdict on that, it's wrong, it's evil.
That's right.
He says, I'm not moving away from your judgments, your verdict, Lord. If you say it's wrong, it's wrong.
That's right.
If you say it's right, it's right. We've got to get back to that biblical way of looking at things. Because some modern aspects of the church today have gone away from the Bible as their guide for life. And it's the ideas and the philosophies of men.
That's right.
All in the misplaced idea of we want to be kind to everybody. We do want to be kind to everybody. But the kindest thing you can do to people is to tell the truth. And show them the right way. Not say, oh, your way's okay. You go your way, we'll go ours, and we'll all get there in the end. No, that's not right.
Yes.
We've got to speak the truth. And if we love people,
yes,
we'll speak the truth. I've not moved away from your judgments, from what you have pronounced as right and wrong. I've not declined. That's a good word to translate it. I've not declined, because a decline starts up there and it moves down bit by bit.
Yes.
That's how moving away from the Lord often works, doesn't it?
Yes.
It's a slow moving downwards and away, and we don't do that anymore, and we don't do this anymore, and we're moving away from the things that God has said, until eventually we find we're away, like the prodigal son, away from home. We need to be close in his presence. I've not departed from your judgments, for you have taught me.
Glory.
That's where we need to be. You have taught me. And the last two verses, that sounds sweet, doesn't it? The last two verses, here they are, 103 and 104. In 103, we get the second how. The first how is, how I love your law. This one says, how sweet or how pleasant are your words to my taste.
Thank you, Lord.
Isn't it good to be in that place where the word of God is sweet and lovely? Mm. It's pleasant. It's a blessing to you. It's sweet to my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. In Revelation chapter 10 and verses 8 to 11, this is John speaking about his experience. And the voice which I heard from heaven spoke unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make your belly bitter, but it shall be in your mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again before the peoples, many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. God's word is wonderful, you see. To the believer, God's word is sweet as honey.
Yes.
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. When Ezekiel had that same experience of eating the word of God, it's sweet to his mouth. But then it was a message of judgment that he had to declare.
You've got to do it.
Oh, that was a bit bitter, you see. That word of God can be a bit bitter to the flesh, to the body. And we have to share the message of the Lord.
Amen.
We have the word of God that we've got to share in all honesty and truth. It's wonderful to declare the message of salvation, but we've got to declare salvation from what? Yes. There is a coming judgment, a judgment on sin.
Yes.
And people need to know that. And sometimes it's not an easy message to convey. Sometimes we don't get a pleasant response.
Yes.
But we've got to share that message. It might be sweet to our mouth.
Yes.
But the process of sharing that message that there is a coming judgment, there's a bitterness there.
Yes.
And there's a sadness if people reject the word of the Lord. So the psalmist rejoices in the word of God. As he enjoys the word of God, it's sweet to his mouth. And through his precepts, through the precepts of the Lord, he says, those mandates, those instructions that God has given, he says, I get understanding. I get instruction. That's what we need from the Lord. And then he says, therefore, I hate every false way. I get understanding, I get instruction, I hate every false way.
That's right.
Keep us on the good way, Lord. Keep us on that narrow pathway that leads
Lord,
to life.
Amen.
Keep us in your word. Keep us away from that deceitful pathway which leads to destruction. The flesh is attracted by it, but it's a false way.
Yes.
It's a trap. It's a lie. Beware of the false way that the enemy puts before your pathway.
That's right.
Psalm says, through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. I won't go along every false way. I recognise the false ways. I won't go that way. I'm going the way of the Lord.
Glory.
To conclude, first and last verse. Oh, how I love your law. I hate every false way.
That's right.
Let it be so with us. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.